Today in Movie World, as we talk about Primate, Send Help, and Mercy. It's time for Movie Wellers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And yes, Dee as well.
Movie Wellers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Even though it's February.
It's February, yeah.
We missed the whole month of January.
We did.
It's okay. I think we are within the statute of limitations.
What is the statute of limitations?
1 month.
Okay. So just thank you, Yasti.
I think I've said Happy New Year as late as March in the past.
But that's just silly, Joe.
Well,
I think as long as it's before Easter, I think it's okay.
To me, it's the first time I interact with somebody.
Yeah,
it might be December. All right. Yes. Yeah, so we have not recorded for since the middle of December.
Yeah.
I guess Rashmi and I took a trip.
Yes.
To India.
And Yasti was traveling
a little bit. You traveled
I staycationed. I went to LA for a little bit.
The Bay Area.
Cool. So yes, we had a cool trip around India.
Tremendous.
It was overscheduled, but like it was no. I mean, it was overscheduled. Come on, don't look at me like that.
No, I'm just looking at you. I'm letting you talk.
It was overscheduled, but I mean, in the best possible way.
Yeah.
We crammed a lot because India's so far.
Yeah.
Like
it is a long way to go.
The journey takes 2 days.
It's brutal.
We didn't realize how much it was, Yasti.
Do you know what kills me? It's a 13.5-hour time difference.
Yeah.
Go on, Yasti.
It's no matter which way you go, in any direction, it's almost exactly on the other side of the globe.
Yeah.
So you can leave in any direction and keep going and you'll get to India.
It's true.
I know.
But what an amazing place.
You should just drill through, make a tunnel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what an amazing place.
It's too much.
It was like an assault on all of the senses. Yes. Your sense of smell, your sense of your sight, your ears.
I always say this, everything feels like it's clicked up to 11 in India, like the sights, the sounds, the smells, the energy, the way people
it's
move,
amazing.
Like everything.
It's amazing.
But yeah, we did Mumbai, Jodhpur, Jaipur, Dehradun, and Delhi.
And Agra.
Gosh, Taj Mahal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, that was wonderful. It was a wonderful trip.
But as a result, we didn't watch many movies.
Well, you did.
Well, we caught up on some.
Yeah, we watched a lot before you guys
That's true.
Yes.
That's true.
And congrats, by the way. SDFCS kind of nailed.
Yes.
The bigger awards. Like, the Oscar list looks like
verbatim.
The SDFCS list.
Yeah.
And
you did a good job, Yasti.
For those that may have missed the last podcast, SDFCS. SDFCS is the San Diego Film Critics Society, which both of you are members.
Yes.
And I think you did a good job of the 2025 awards. And it really feels like the Academy took notes from what you did.
I think so.
And, you know, there were some surprises there, like Amy Madigan.
Yes.
We'll talk about this in the next show, but
yes.
Good stuff. So, well done.
www.sdfc.org.
Yes.
SDFCS.
SDFCS.
Yes. San Diego Film Critics Society.
Yeah, so. All right.
So we have a lot to catch up on today.
We do. We've got three movies.
Do you want to say something about we're not in our usual location?
Well, we can.
Well, for those who watch regularly.
For those of you listening, you won't notice anything different.
No,
it's an upgrade.
But for those of you watching us on YouTube, please watch us on YouTube. I feel like we get so many more downloads than we get YouTube views. I almost wonder, you know, I appreciate anyone who consumes Movie Wallers, but YouTube is something we've been trying for about a year now.
Yeah.
Our views are still very low. So check us out. Because you can see us, and yes, as Rashmi pointed out, so we have a home studio that we normally use when we're not at Yazdi's house, which seems to be most of our recordings of last year. But today we are at our house. Our home studio is basically out of action because of a technical malfunction known as a broken blind.
Yes,
which is being fixed. So instead, we're here in our dining room. So
yes, hello from our dining room.
And it's we can't see the view because it's too sunny. It's beautifully sunny here in San Diego.
Not to make those of you in the cold jealous, but it's a heat wave here. in San Diego.
I was at 80 degrees.
I was out hiking this morning. It was like 75 degrees. It was perfect.
Yes.
I was like, I love it. All right.
Let's go.
So we have snacks.
Yes.
Maybe we'll munch on them as we go along. We've had these before. These are the...
I really like those.
The Himemaru Japanese crackers, which these are so good.
Like, yeah.
Which are very umami.
If you like umami, so if you like salt, these are for you. These are fantastic. The other ones are my kind of...
peacock.
I really want to get snacks that we can talk about. And so this is a... I'm going to just hold it up to the camera. These are peacock snacks. I don't know what that even means.
But it's got a picture of a fish on the front.
I know, and it says non-fried.
And the fish has a beer mug on its hand.
And
on
does back, it mean it's got some funny lips?
And on the back, it's like peacock comic. So maybe this is like a Scooby snack. You know, like cartoon characters.
It's a
like,
tie-in, yeah.
What is a peacock snack?
Write in and let us know if you know.
I'm actually terrified. I'm going to open the back.
Okay, oh, here we go.
It's just going to be some... nicely processed thing.
There's a plate. There are plates. Is there like five in there?
No.
600 in there.
Oh!
They're little fishies.
Oh, they're cute. Fish. Okay, yeah, see you.
We'll show on. Live on camera here.
Oh, they're very nice.
Mm. Not too sweet, not too salty. And they melt in your mouth.
They're like potato.
Mm. I approve of peacock.
Oh, very nice.
They're like sweet. Is there fishiness to them, or is that
There's
fishiness. There's definitely at the end.
There's a peacockness.
So there we go. Peacock snacks. Available at Ranch 99 or 99
Ranch. 99 Ranch, or anywhere you get your snacks from.
All right. I guess we should talk about movies.
Yep. So the first movie is the movie Primate. I'm introducing that one. I was dying to see this one because the poster, Yazdi, looks so interesting to me. It's basically... a primate, a monkey in a corner wearing a red t-shirt. So this is classed as horror. It's directed and written by Johan Roberts and written also by Ernest Riera. And it stars Johnny Sequoia, Jessica Alexander, Troy Kotsur, who I love. He is the guy who won the Oscar for Coda a few years ago.
Supporting actor, yep. Yes.
And Victoria Wyatt.
Yes, and he is hearing impaired.
Yes. Gia Hunter, Benjamin Chang, and a whole host of others. So, Yazdi, I know you don't love horror, but this looks very, very interesting. Is this worth our time?
I don't think this is horror per se, although it has its share of gore and bloodshed and so forth. I think at the end of the day, it's just monster in your house movie.
Oh.
Right? The premise of the movie is that there is this ape which is being experimented on, and he's a scientist, Troy Kotsur, and his daughter has her best friends visiting, and they live on this what seems to be a fake home tucked away in the middle of nowhere in the hills in Hawaii, overlooking the ocean, like in this craggy.
Okay.
If it's real, I want to go live there. It's an amazing home. And they have the chimp is kept in the backyard, and something goes wrong with the chimp, and the chimp is on a murderous rage, and they cannot leave, they cannot go. So it is like Alien, it is like any other movie, but I think, you know, considering that there have been so many other movies about some boogeyman in the house which is trying to kill you, this one is actually pretty well made. The suspense is very good. There are a few moments where it kind of plays with your expectations very well. It's well shot. It has the usual kind of these kind of suspense movie tropes about who's going to be the last girl because, you know, people start dying. I liked it. I would recommend it to everyone. I mean, if it were not so, there are a few scenes where it just gets really nasty, gory.
Okay.
But outside of that, I mean, I wish it wasn't that hard R, because I think it's a really well-constructed suspense movie.
Yes. How is it different to Planet of the Apes, where we saw that same, you know, primates, monkeys being experimented on? Does it bring anything new to the genre?
No, I think it is more... it's more B movie than that.
Okay.
So it's not trying to say anything, you know, make any commentary about the nature of intelligence and apes versus humans or any of that.
Okay.
I think it's
not a talking primate.
No, it's not a talking primate, no.
Okay.
Because that's where I thought you were going with that, right?
No, I was just wondering about, you know, that whole thing of how the primates turn, how the monkeys turn on the humans, you know, the battle scenes and, you know.
Yeah, no, I think...
Even in Nope, remember in Nope, there's a big scene at the beginning where there's a monkey
in the
Yeah, in the studio.
When it's being filmed. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
It's just... I think it does a good job with claustrophobia because, you know, they cannot call anyone. Their phones are in a different part of the house. And anybody who tries to get the phones has to deal with this, you know, insane beast, murderous beast. And they're completely shut out from the rest of civilization. And so, so I think it creates a good, and then ultimately, you know, one of them has to kind of brace herself and go and try to kind of get to the phone. And so I think as these movies are done, it's pretty tightly constructed. I did feel very claustrophobic at certain points. Parts of it are very funny, you know, which you wouldn't expect. So it has a good deal of humor in it.
I was going to say, funny by design, hopefully.
Break up the tension.
Absolutely funny by design because, you know, the girls kind of, just to give you an idea, the girls kind of, when they're flying into Hawaii to, you know, to meet, there are these really annoying boys on the plane with them who are trying to kind of connect with them and say, can we have drinks or whatever? And the boys call them, and so the girls say, yeah, just come over for a great time, you know, whatever. And then those guys show up there, and they don't know there's a murderous monkey there.
Okay.
So it becomes, it's really funny, that whole part.
That's good.
So, yeah.
I mean, look, it's reviewing 79% on the Tomatometer and 71% audience score. So it seems like it's doing really well. So
I'll score it in a second. My only kind of misgiving with the movies, I thought it was a bit of a lost opportunity because they have Troy Kotsur play the father, right? He's the guy who owns the lab.
I think he's a great actor,
too. He's a great actor, and he can communicate through sign language with his daughter because they grew up like that.
Yeah.
And I think that could have been played to an advantage, that they can communicate, you know, while they have this murderous beast in their house. But that they don't make the most of it, maybe a little bit of it. And then there are parts where he just can't hear, and you know clearly the crazy ape is behind him.
I like that.
Yeah. I would recommend this movie. I would give it like a 7.5 out of 10. I would have done an 8 if it was just a tad less gory.
Mm.
But you know, for a pretty well used device, I think this movie captures the suspense very well. Yeah, so I think overall 7 out of 10.
Okay.
Great movie to watch at the back of a plane, or you know, if it comes out on television in an edited version, everybody should watch it. It's not horror in the way that it's not like you're gonna lose sleep.
Okay.
It's mostly like you know, it's jump scare horror.
Okay, not like what was the one you saw? Black Widow. The Woman in Black.
No.
That's the one is the yardstick or Conjuring, which we made Yasti watch.
No.
And the only really gory stuff is when the ape does get at someone, you know, it kind of just mauls that person. And I'm like, that's unnecessary. I don't need to see that. But anyway. So that's Primate.
Good.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Primate, send help and mercy.
It could be a sentence, couldn't it? It's kind of a theme,
Primate,
isn't it?
Send help, mercy.
Yes. Okay, so Yasti's doing mercy.
Yes.
All right.
Mercy or send help?
Sorry, send help.
Yes. So director Sam Raimi, woohoo, who's been around forever. He did the Evil Dead movie. He did the Spider-Man movies. He did Drag Me to Hell.
He's quite talented.
He's done 100 things. We haven't seen a movie from him in a while, and he's back, you know, back on the playground. And Send Help is based on a story by Damien Shannon and Mark Shift, and it stars Rachel McAdams, who everybody in the world loves, Dylan O'Brien, Edil Ismail, and Xavier Samuel, Chris Pang. But I think Rachel McAdams and Dylan O'Brien are the two main top-rated actors. And it's a psychological thriller. And the one-liner for it from IMDb is, An employee and her insufferable boss become stranded on a deserted island, the only survivors of a plane crash. Here they must overcome past grievances and work together to survive. But will they make it out alive? So that's Send Help, and it's in theaters right now. We saw it recently.
And I have to say, I mean, you know, the premise of it is essentially, you remember Triangle of Sadness a couple of years
ago? That's what I thought as soon as it started.
I think you made that. Maybe that's what, maybe I heard that from you. But Triangle of Sadness, we have, you know, the boss and the secretary on this.
The maid.
That's right. In the ship.
Yeah.
In this kind of survival situation, the maid is the one with all the skills. This is very much that same story, but extended. So.
Yes.
Go on, Rashmi. Why don't you give us your thoughts?
I love this movie. It's such a fun frolic. It's so interesting. I love Rachel McAdams. We're seeing a completely different side of Rachel McAdams, which I love. You know, this is like not glamorous Rachel McAdams, but this is like downtrodden.
Ooh.
Yeah, like, you know, ugly Rachel McAdams, and she's still great. And the thing I found fascinating about the movie was, at times I didn't know who I was rooting for, mm-hmm. and I didn't know who the bad guy was. And that, I've never been in a situation where I don't know who I want to be the victor, so to speak. So just for that alone, it brought something new to the genre. Loved it.
Yeah. I mean, everyone that has listened to Movie Wallace for a while knows that probably. But a couple of times a year, I'll bring up Drag Me to Hell.
Yeah.
Like one of my favorite, like, spooky, naughty horror movies. That was an original piece by Sam Raimi, and very much in his horror boots. This isn't full-on horror. This is thriller. This is satire. Yeah. And the characters feel very much like they're drawn like comic book characters. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of extremes. Like the boss is so despicable that he's laughing at a social media video of the employee he's on his private jet, you know. So everything's very much a caricature.
Yeah.
Right? So these are comic book characters.
Yeah. Lots of bromance.
And I don't want to make that sound like the movie's not well written or executed. It's extremely well written because the characters are. It's all about the characters here and the flip in the dynamic and how they play with that. Yeah. This is McAdams unlike I've ever seen her.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I know it was her. She looks like her, but her physicality is so different that I was like, I've never seen her play this type of role. But I love this too.
Yeah.
This was ridiculous fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think I absolutely love this. I think I always worry about movies which get dropped in January because usually the worst movies of the year.
Right. And this was our first official 2026 screening, we should say.
I think this is the first really good movie of the year, as far as I'm concerned, just really good.
Yeah.
I agree with what both of you said. Don't go to this movie for great psychological depth, because that's I think The Triangle of Sadness, the second part, is very similar to this, the second half of it.
That
movie was plunging into a lot of like social commentary about class and people. This movie is broad. This movie is broad at all times. But I don't think it's to its detriment. Like, everything is kind of exaggerated. There are portions which are overly comic, which are kind of exaggerated. It is playing with exaggerations. And I'm not saying this in a negative sense at all.
No, I feel the same way.
But I think I ultimately I think that the second half of the movie gets very dark, which I wasn't expecting, and I was hoping it would keep it a little bit light. But the more I've thought about it, the more I appreciate this movie, because you start off thinking that her boss is like this horrible leech of a human being who should be stamped off the face of the earth. Like every misbegotten misery that comes to him, he deserves it. But then the Rachel McAdams character does a few things which are completely unforgivable, in my opinion, too.
Correct.
So it just refuses you the joy of saying, ha, the good person prevailed. It does not.
Exactly.
It says, no, if you are okay with what she did, then you are just as culpable as if you were rooting for for the guy.
That's my point.
And I think it makes it so morally complex
Yes.
that you don't know, at least I didn't know walking out, like, wait, am I happy with this outcome?
Right. You know? So that's what I'm saying. Like, on the surface of it, like you said, Joe, when they're going to their destination, he's on the plane with his bros and blah, blah, blah. And you just hate him. Exactly what you said, Yazdi. But the way, the cleverness of the movie to me is the way it changes how you feel about each of the characters when they're in a certain situation. Yeah, that's the genius of the movie for me.
It's like they played with every trope and subverted them.
Yeah,
exactly.
But you know, you don't realize it's happening.
Yeah. Right?
You kind of, because there are these like moments where, and you don't even understand. And it's not that like there isn't an integrity to how it's done, because the characters don't suddenly flip.
Right.
They are who they are, but they perpetrate certain things. And it
definitely gave me Misery vibes as well. Like, I felt like it was really paying homage to Misery, which was, again, such an amazing movie with Kathy Bates.
And Raimi does these really central characters again. You know, I'll talk Evil Dead, you know very well. They're kind of hateful kids, right? You know, the woman in Drag Me to Hell, she's a despicable human being. And so, you know, here they're not quite as caricature as that, but you know, again, he's not afraid of embracing cliche with the characters, but then doing something different to that elevates the movie above the B movie that you mentioned last time.
Yeah,
and there is a fableness. It feels like a fable because even how it's shot, it's not going for verisimilitude. Like, there's a whole bit where they're going around a mountain. I'm like, that mountain doesn't even look remotely real, right?
Right.
So I think they're going for this comic book thing while still kind of you know.
Well, the way that she constructs their base camp.
With her bag, perfect bag.
I was thinking, I want that bag. Yeah, and those slippers and that cute hat.
Yeah.
I mean, the woman is genius. But look, this is the good thing is that we can buy that because they sell her as a survivor, fanatic and who wants to be on the show Survivor. So again, it's all based in the movie's reality.
Yeah. And there are two other things I really like about this movie. One is, you know, by any standards of Hollywood, Rachel McAdams is now 47 years old. And, you know, they should just like stomp on her and say, come back and be somebody's mom. But I'm so glad that, you know, she's the lead in this movie. And she should be a lead in every movie. I love McAdams. When Rachel McAdams smiles on the screen, all is well with the world. And it's a crime. I mean, the first half an hour, I'm like, it's a crime against cinema to make Rachel McAdams this dowdy and ugly. And I was like,
greasy head.
I'm like, what are you doing?
I was like, oh, I used to own those shoes.
Well,
yeah, I like the shoes, big clumpy shoes.
Even the way she like leaves a little bit of a sandwich on her lip.
I know.
And it's hilarious.
It's very good.
I'm so glad Sam Raimi like said, Rachel McAdams, this juicy role is yours. Run with it. And the other
thing, she's a great actor.
And you know, we last talked about her when she played the mom of the little girl in Where Are You God, Ben? Where Are You God? It's Me, Margaret.
Yeah, right? I think so.
Yeah. I thought she should have been nominated for Best Supporting Actress. I think she needs to be nominated for this movie. She's so good, yeah.
She is very good.
The other thing I wanted to mention is,
Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Are You There, God? Yeah. Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
She's good in everything. Like, I'm looking at Spotlight and Midnight in Paris and her filmography.
You were going to make a point.
And the second thing I want to make is, the history of cinema has been about, you know, older guys and younger women.
Yeah.
And in this movie, I never doubted that Dylan O'Brien and Rachel McAdams would be potentially romantic love interests. And he's a full 12 years younger than her in real life. So, you know, again, good for Sam Raimi that he's doing this kind of age-reversed casting in this movie as well.
I never thought of that. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's score this one. Joe, go first.
I mean, this is everything I love about movies, and it's Sam Raimi. And look, it's incredibly violent and gory. So, you know, we should warn everyone. In addition to it being like hilarious, this movie is like bonkers, like bloody and violent and visceral. And it has jump scares in it. Not a ton, but it's, you know, it's not for the kids. But that's it. I love this sort of stuff. It's nonsense. It's funny. I want to watch it again. I'm sure there's layers to the characters and the humor that I missed on first watch. So it's up there with you know, Drag Me to Hell is among my favorite Raimi properties.
Yeah.
I love
that Fiance too.
9 out of 10, I really had
Fiance's excellent.
She's great.
She's so good. Everyone is so well cast.
They play it is brilliant. And the setting, the island itself is a wonderful character.
And can we just say, you know, Dylan O'Brien, right? He was in Twinless. He's been around for a while. He at the start of the movie, he's a one-note character.
Yes.
But then he slowly... It's a difficult job as an actor to get out of that corner that the movie has put you in at the start.
Yes, yes.
And he kind of gets out of that corner slowly and steadily.
I was so good for him.
That's what I'm saying.
So I'm going with a 9 because I had so much fun with this movie and I can't wait to see it again.
Yazdi.
I mean, again... I think everybody should watch this. And if there are a few gory parts, and there are a few gory parts, just close your eyes. It's okay. But you should watch it because people complain there is nothing good in the cinemas and everything is a repeat and there is no original stuff and everything is sequel. Well, here is, you know, as good as a director as Hollywood has ever produced, at the top of his game, making a movie with, you know, amazing actors, with a completely unpredictable story, which is so much fun. Above all else, this movie is outrageously entertaining. Outrageously entertaining. So I would give it an 8.5 out of 10, and maybe it'll get to be a 9, but I'm going to back up to an 8, but I recommend it to everyone. Just be very mindful that this, again, this movie is not going for realism. It's just, it's playing by very broad cliches, which is perfectly fine with me.
What Yazdi said, 8 out of 10. I love this movie.
Yeah.
I love this movie. It's so fun.
Like, his beard never grows, have you noticed?
Yes. Yes. I was thinking that too.
We're living
Or his hair, his or hair her beard. Hair. Yeah. But they never seem to age.
To your point, I mean, they set up the rules of their universe and they play within them. And I don't know that stuff matters because it is ridiculous. I mean, the plane crash is ridiculous.
Yeah. The plane crash is hilarious.
It's hilarious.
Why should a plane crash in the middle of the sky be hilarious? But it's hilarious.
It is really funny. It's very comical the way it's done.
Yeah, and, you know, I hope that's not a spoiler. It's right there in the trailer. But, I mean, you know, the whole sequence is laugh out loud.
Even the sections in the office at the beginning are so well done. They're so representative of how office culture feels in today's time. They're held up, of course.
It's amped up, but it's making its point in a very short period of time, which is really deftly done.
Yes.
Because, again, it could...
All those people are hateable.
But it wants to get these two individuals stranded on an island within half an hour, and so it's doing a lot of heavy lifting in the first half hour.
Correct.
Which it's very effective.
But that stuff is normally annoying.
Yeah.
It's not annoying here. It's funny and it's entertaining, and you know,
and very clever.
Very clever.
Really. It's
So movie ball our favorite this week.
Okay.
Okay. So
everybody, go watch Send Help.
Send Help. Yes. Send Help.
All right. Should we go and watch Mercy then? Rashmi, are you going to talk about
that? So this sounds right up your street, Joe. Set in the near future, a detective accused of murdering his wife has 90 minutes to prove his innocence to an advanced AI judge. Wow. It's directed by Timur Bekmambetov, and written by Marco Van Bell, and it stars mainly Chris Pratt, Rebecca Ferguson, and a whole host of others. Great cast. You're the only one of us who saw this. Would you recommend that Joe and I rush out and see this?
I would recommend this to no one.
No.
Really? It's not Minority Report light?
Not even close. This might be, I don't know. I think a movie would have to be substantially worse this year to top. This is probably the worst
movie. Is this a Razzie?
It's easily
2026 Razzie.
This is a movie which Amazon has acquired. It's going to show up on Amazon streaming. I mean, I think in the back of a plane on a lark, you should watch it. But the movie looks like it's made for $5. And the premise is so good. The premise
is
so good.
Yes, that's what I'm just saying.
And it kind of, that premise, I think in the hands of somebody like David Fincher or Spielberg, this could have been amazing. But this director, he had made the movie Wanted with Angelina Jolie. I don't know if you watched
it. I love that.
I think that's the only good movie he's made. But this movie, there's so much what do you call it, narration, like, and then this happened, and then this happened.
Oh, like, what do they call it? Explanation.
Explanation.
Okay.
And then my thing is, I fell asleep like half an hour into it, which is not a good thing about a thriller.
No.
You know, I've read a few.
How long is it, Yazzie? I'm trying to figure out.
It's 90 minutes. It's not too long.
Oh, it is the 90 minutes. So he's literally like running as if he's got 90 minutes to prove his innocence, and the film is pretty much.
Exactly.
So it's a gimmick.
It's a gimmick, which is fine.
Okay.
And he's locked in a chair.
That would be quite fun.
He's locked in a chair, and this AI has looked at all of your social media, all of your videos, all the security videos, and it has said, you know, you are 97% likely the murderer. And he has to interact with the AI and convince the AI that he's not the murderer and say, go look at this. So the premise is so wonderful.
Yes.
How it's executed. You know, by virtue of this premise, he has to remain locked in the chair to the majority of the movie. Right, because he's trying to convince this AI. So Chris Pratt doesn't get to do much until like the last 20 minutes of the movie. There was some talk, I read an interview where Chris Pratt said they were originally thinking of using an AI, creating an AI identity to play the AI.
Yeah, yeah.
But then eventually they went with Rebecca Ferguson. And if there is, I'm going to give this movie 2 out of 10. I'm just saying it
upfront. Yazzie!
And the 2 out of 10, the first point and the second point is because of Rebecca Ferguson, because she makes everything believable. Her facial expressions.
Yeah, she's a great actress.
Amazing.
Yeah, like, no, I just watched The House of Dynamite
But again, if you have nothing else to do, watch it. I was just very disappointed.
It's 24% on the Tomatometer. Yeah. But 82% on the audience score. So they're loving it.
Well, let's.
It's a caper.
Can we ask about that? Yeah. Yes. Why do you think audiences are responding so well when critics are kind of turning their noses up?
Because I think if it's a Friday night movie, if you just want to watch,
at some audience reviews. Yeah.
If this was streaming, then I would say it's a good streamer. But I don't want anybody to pay $18 to go see it.
That's fair. Right. And it's in 3D. Did you watch it in 3D?
No, I did not. So there were two screenings.
IMAX?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think Amazon just drop it on streaming. Like, why are you releasing this in the theater? It doesn't have the quality to be released in theater.
As a 3D movie.
Because of the cast.
Probably because of the cast.
Yeah. I'm sure to get those people they want to see. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so maybe 2.5 out of 10.
But you're going to have to back it down or take
to 2.
It,
yeah.
To 2. Okay. So here's the thing. I don't know about you guys, but I find Chris Pratt quite annoying. I don't know. I can't get on with him as an actor.
I mean, I like him in the Jurassic Park movies, but that's because I kind of like those movies.
Yeah.
Even though they're the silly kind of sci-fi gobbledygook nonsense.
Yeah.
I feel he's got a charm to him that works really well for him there.
I liked him in Guardians of the Galaxy. I think that's the last time I thought he did a really good job. But
so, I don't respond to him the same way that you do, but I mean, I think, to me, he's got like a boyish charm that I think always plays well. I'm not sure that serves him for this role.
He's a policeman, right? And he himself has been a strong proponent for using AI to pass judgment on people, like get rid of the law and just let AI like find out if somebody is guilty of a crime or not. So he himself has been a strong proponent, and his partner and him have been strong proponents for it. But now somebody has been killed and he is the guy who is held as a murder victim.
Right.
So he has to reach out to his partner and have her do some sleuthing, some detective work.
Right.
So again, he is locked in that chair, which otherwise that wouldn't be a problem, but it just feels very like it was done on a dime without too much thought, which is not good.
That's too bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
That was pretty efficient reviews.
Yes, I think two good out of three.
Yeah, and one really good.
And one that we loved. Yeah, that's
January love.
Not a bad start for the year.
Yeah,
I love that. Great. Well, let us know what you think. Give us some comments on YouTube. If you do go there, just give us a like and subscribe. If you don't, I'm going to ask you for a favor. Just go there anyway and just thumbs up one of our videos. I'd appreciate that. That will help get the video seen by more people. Thank you again for listening. We will be back very shortly with reviews of Shelter 28 years later, the Bone Temple. So excited to hear all about those. All right, until then, too many movies, too little time. A goodbye from me.
And me.
And me as well.